In this episode of Building Success Stories, I interviewed Joan Tarantino, executive director of the Conklin Center in Glens Falls. The Conklin Center offers senior-directed programs and services for community members 55+. They're preparing for their 125th anniversary celebrations this year. Joan and I talk about how the center got started as the Glens Falls Home, a residential facility for older women. But when another more suitable facility was developed for that, there was a name change and the Conklin Center became a provider of programs and services for older adults in the community. Joan says their mission is to enhance the quality of life of seniors in the community directly and indirectly by providing services, programs, and opportunities to meet their ever-changing needs. I hope you'll enjoy this episode of Building Success Stories. Joan Tarantino from the Conklin Center. Why don't you tell me a bit about the background of the center?
Sure. The Conklin Center was formerly the Glens Falls Home. So the Glens Falls Home was a home for aged women down here on Warren Street, a kitty corner from across the street from the High Museum. So that home was operational for over 100 years. In the late 1800s, a woman by the name of Mary Conklin gave her family's home as the original Glens Falls Home, which was quickly outgrown. Mm-hmm. And Mr. McEachran, who was a lumber baron in the area, made a donation to build the beautiful brick home that's down on Warren Street. That was operational for over 100 years. And in the late 1990s, the board reviewed what was going on at the home, what was happening in the community, and made a decision to close the home. It was becoming a little outdated. It was going to need to be updated to meet compliance. And so they closed the home and partnered with the Eddy, a division of Northeast Health, now St. Peter's, to develop and build the Glen at Highland Meadows, which is a retirement community up on Meadowbrook Road. So we are a partner in that facility. We do not do the day-to-day management of that facility. The Eddy is the managing arm that does that of the day-to-day. One of the most exciting things for that facility is they just opened a memory care. So they have a memory care building that will house 30 individuals with Alzheimer's and dementia mm-hmm. memory care concerns. So that's the new addition up there.
That's amazing.
So when the Glen opened up in the late 1990s, early 2000s, the board of the Glens Falls Home, still at the time, made a decision to have us become operational again. So we are considered a private, not-for-profit operational foundation, and we serve individuals that are 55 and older. We do a small transportation program within a 20-mile radius of the city of Glens Falls. We have two accessible vans. Folks that ride with us have to be independent enough to come in and out of their homes and go to their appointments on their own, because we will pick them up, drop them off at their appointments, and come back an hour later. We'll take them to doctor's appointments, hairdressers, grocery shopping, post office, bank, various other locations. Mm-hmm. And those are all scheduled through our transportation coordinator Monday through Friday. We're doing the hours of 8:30 and 11:30. Michael's the only one that does schedule our rides, so folks would need to speak with him during those hours. We will take messages and have him call back if he's not here in the afternoon. We also do social and educational programs on a variety of topics that are pertinent to the senior population. So they could be health related. We also do a lot of historical type programs. We've had the park programs out at the Parks Bentley. We've gone to the Chapman. We've gone to the Hyde. We bring in folks that do paintings, and they might be painting glasses or card making. We have a card making class, our presentation coming up soon, so we have folks that are interested in making holiday cards. So we do a variety of things like that. We've in the past, and we anticipate we will again in 2024, we hold an elder law summit and work with the local elder law attorneys to put
that's
that together.
That's excellent, yeah.
And we also do a veterans breakfast with the Greater Glens Falls Senior Center. So the Greater Glens Falls Senior Center always did a veterans breakfast. They outgrew the center. So I work very closely with Kim Brand, the director over there. So we asked if she wanted to partner with the Conkling Center so that we could do a larger breakfast. And so we do a larger breakfast every year for the veterans.
That was one question I was going to ask you, is what's the difference between the Conkling Center and the senior citizens groups? There's a couple in this area.
So I'll just step back just a little bit. So as we started to operate doing programs and transportation, a lot of times we were getting calls because a lot of people still thought we were a residential program. So I want to say it was 2015 is when it was, the board decided to rebrand the organization, and we became the Conkling Center in honor of Mary Conkling, who gave her family's home for the very original Glens Falls home. So that's how we transitioned into the Conkling Center. So the difference between the Conkling Center and the senior centers, the senior centers do have transportation programs, but they're different than our transportation programs. They all have their own guidelines and what they'll do and where they'll take, what type of transports they take. And we also don't have daily programming. So we don't have the senior population coming into our office on a daily basis to do programs or activities or something like that. So okay. It's a little bit different, where we also can focus on larger events and things like that. But also I know that, and we talk about this, I talk about this with the senior center directors all the time. There are also seniors in the community that for some reason don't think they're seniors, or are, just don't feel that the senior centers are where they want to go. Not that there's anything wrong with the senior centers or the rural community center that does senior programming. Yes. There's nothing wrong with any of those centers, but there are people in the community that don't see themselves as a senior and going to a senior center. Mm-hmm. You know, My mom was alive, she couldn't see why she would go to a senior center.
Well, I'm getting to that age. It's funny because I was saying to somebody, I had referred to myself as middle-aged. And I said, I don't think I'm middle-aged still, but I don't want to call myself elderly. What is in between? Is there a name for that time?
I don't know of a name of an in-between. I think it's just a matter of how you feel.
Right.
I am a senior. I am considered a senior, mm-hmm. too. And I would go to the senior centers because I know how many fun things they do with the senior centers just from being here.
They do a lot.
They do a lot. And Queensbury does trips. The Queensbury Senior Center does larger types mm-hmm. of trips and things like that. So it's just a matter, I think, of what a person's preference is, what their personality's like, and what they're comfortable doing. So there is some cross among the senior centers, and there are other people that they specifically go to one senior center.
Well, I think that makes sense because I think a lot of seniors would feel that they're getting lumped together, whereas we're just people like everybody else with different interests. So that makes sense that there'd be different places where they could choose to go.
Right. And like I said, we see some folks that come here to our programs go to the centers, and then there are some folks that come to our programs that do not go to the centers for programming.
Yeah.
And one of the other things, too, I think we also, our focus is on seniors. That's our mission. But we also get a lot of questions from family members on resources. What kind of resources are out there? Or they'll call and they just want to have a conversation and, you know, get some questions answered. So we do also serve as a resource hub for a variety of things. And I've been in human services in this local area for 43 years. So if we don't do a service, I may know where to refer them to. And probably 9 out of 10 times, I even know a contact name. And if not, I'm comfortable to call and find that information out.
That's a valuable service because I think a lot of people get to that point where their parents need help or other elderly relatives need help, and it's a whole new situation.
I think during COVID, we were receiving a lot of phone calls from family members that maybe weren't just local, but were out of state, across the country or wherever asking for information on services, because now their parents were pretty much isolated. At the time, they didn't want them to be isolated, but they needed to. And what were some of the services that could be accessed to help meet their needs?
Mm-hmm. You mentioned your background. Do you want to tell me a little bit more about your background and how you ended up here?
Yeah. So I have a degree in social work. I worked in community action for 29 years. I worked with the ARC for a couple of years, and then I came here in 2012. So my background has pretty much been, I say that I grew up in the nonprofit world. I've served as a youth counselor, a youth employment counselor, an adult employment counselor. I've run workshops on different topics in regards to employment training. I worked in employment training for a period of time, and then I served as the executive director of a community action organization. So I just feel like I have a lot of different experience.
Yeah.
And I'm a programming person. So if I need to move away from my administrative duties and jump in to run a program or something, that's not something that scares me away, because I like programs. I like to be with the people and to do different things. So, but I've spent most of my nonprofit life in administration.
And you've been here a significant amount of time.
I've been here since 2012. I came in 2012. And that was after 29 years of being at the Community Action Agency. So, yeah, I'm one of those people that sticks. If I like it and I'm happy, I stay.
So you have a staff of like five, or the ones you just
no,
to?
No, I have. Well, I shouldn't say no. I have a full-time program manager. Trisha is our full-time program manager. She's the only other full-time staff person. Michael, our transportation coordinator, is part-time, and we have three part-time drivers.
Okay.
Our bookkeeper is an independent bookkeeper. She's not an employee of the organization. I mean, she spends a lot of, she spends every morning here with us, but she's not an employee of the organization.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, so we have a very small staff.
Yeah.
At one time, we were a staff that everyone was retired, except myself. I had come here after 29 years, but didn't technically retire.
Yeah.
But it was a whole staff of retirees that were looking for part-time jobs. So now we have, we're probably 50-50 right now, retirees and non-retirees at this time.
That's interesting. So can you tell me a bit about the sort of challenges or the your objectives? Is there anything specific that you have in trying to provide programs for the 55s and over?
Yeah, I think we're always listening and evaluating the conversations that we have to see what people's needs are. Mm-hmm. And then we're taking that information, and Trisha is developing programs. So Trisha's always asking our program attendees, what are some things that you would be interested in?
Mm-hmm.
We always have an interest in the legal end of things. And a lot of times people might think, oh, you do that, we do that, you've done that, whatever. But there's always another group of people that want to hear it,
yeah,
that haven't heard it, or there's a group of people that have already heard the presentations that want more information. So I think we just try to stay where the interest is and what is needed. So there, we might know that there is a need or an interest by a small group of individuals, so we'll provide them the information, whereas if it's not something we think a large group would be interested in, we don't hold a presentation,
mm-hmm,
but we would definitely share it with the people that we know would benefit.
Yeah. So, and you mentioned to me about the Alzheimer group that meets here, and do you partner with a lot of groups like that?
So the Alzheimer's, the Northeastern chapter of the Alzheimer's Association, prior to COVID, they ran support groups that were for the individuals that were diagnosed and their caregivers. So they would come and meet here one night a month, and they would use the room we're sitting in. And the first hour was the whole group together. The second hour was they would break up into two groups. One would be a caregiver group.
Mm-hmm.
One would be the diagnosed person group. And prior to us shifting and doing a little construction here, the room that you saw with all the furniture, and used the furniture used to be out here, and Michael used to be over there. It was all open. So I would be the person that stayed that night. I would just go in my office and close the door. And then the group got large, and then there were a lot of early onset Alzheimer's folks, and they were doing another group in the morning. They wanted to do another group in the morning, and we didn't have a confidential space for them to meet when they split. So we had some construction done to do that room. And now the Alzheimer's Association, they call us a point of service. So Lindsay Stanilowski, who's one of their program managers, she comes here and uses that space the first Tuesday of the month. So she comes and works from here. And then if she needs to meet with a family or some other caregiver, she can always meet with them here. So they know that she is here if they need her on that day. We partner with the Alzheimer's Association. Actually, we just had a fundraiser this weekend, and one of our volunteers was from the Alzheimer's Association, and the Alzheimer's Association supported us through an advertisement. Mm-hmm. Outside of here, myself and Tricia have both had family members that have had Alzheimer's, and we work with the Alzheimer's very closely. We do a lot of fundraising and things for the Queensberry Walk, which was just held. So we have a lot of connection with them. So we do it internally here, but prior to either of us coming here, we've been connected to the Alzheimer's Association.
Well, that's interesting. Thanks. So what can businesses, this is going to be in the business journal. So what can businesses do to help you? Are there any specific needs that you have?
Sure. Businesses can always help us through sponsorships if they'd like to sponsor a program or sponsor our transportation program. We have our transportation program runs us around $115,000 to $120,000 a year just to administer that program. So if they wanted to sponsor the vehicle for a month or gas for a month or whatever, and same thing with programs. We have programs that... you know, there are fees for some of the programs. So if they would like to sponsor a program, we have Highmark and Neighbors New York have been wonderful with us. They sponsor our exercise programs. So we still hold our exercise programs virtually, our core cardio and our yoga programs, because we started, I guess I should like back up too, is during COVID, we shut down for a month, and then we opened back up. Staff rotated through here. We were never here together. And we opened up our transportation program part-time. So we were running one vehicle, one driver for the days that we were on. And then our programs, we started running virtual programs in June of 2020 and actually did all of our programming virtually up until June of 2022 when we started coming back in person a little bit. So our group that used to attend our exercise programs, they didn't want to come and do it in person. So we were lucky enough to have two instructors that were willing to do it virtually. So Highmark Insurance and Neighbors New York sponsor those programs. So any of our fees that go for those programs, they get taken out of those sponsorships. Right now, we're getting ready to... hold our second annual Judge Timothy Breen Memorial Golf Tournament, which was very successful this year. We're getting ready to hold that again in May of 2024. So sponsorships are going out there. So if we've kind of expanded on our sponsorships, not only is it a sponsorship for golf ball or longest drive, it might be a golf ball sponsorship and an event sponsorship in 2024, or some kind of a golf sponsorship and sponsoring the vehicle, the transportation vehicles. What we call our transportation program On the Go.
On the Go. Right. Okay.
Yeah. So there's always opportunities because there's always, you know, if we don't charge a fee, it doesn't mean that there's no cost to the program.
There's always a cost
to the program. And right now our budget is covered with funding that the organization has, as well as grant funding and donations, sponsorships and things like that.
And you take just donations on an ad hoc basis.
We will
not,
take,
it doesn't
we
have
will
to be
take a
specific
donation.
sponsorship for
Somebody
anything.
just wants to give us a general donation. Right now, our annual appeal cards are out, and they folks can designate where they want the funds to be spent on, or they can put it in as a general donation. And one of the things we do dirt in the fall is, and we write grants for all of the funds we use for it, is we've done an ice melt program for long before I came here.
What's ice melt? I saw that on your website.
So we write grants to get funding, and what we do is we purchase ice melt through St. Andrew's Hardware up on Route 9, and then we distribute it up to the senior centers and the Washington County Office for the Aging and the Warren County Office for the Aging.
So literally ice melt.
It's
I didn't
melt.
Know if it was a...
No, it's ice melt.
Okay.
Yep, and that's a program that folks always call and ask.
It's important.
But all of that ice melt is distributed through the senior centers. Mm-hmm.
And is all your programs, are they free of cost, free of charge to the participants?
A lot of our programs, there is no fee for them, but there are programs where there are fees due to a cost for supplies or, you know, if we're doing an event at a location out at another site or something, and there's a cost there, we will try to get a little bit of revenue to help us pay for it.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm trying to think, is there anything else? Oh, 125 years next year.
Yep, well, the organization will turn 125 in 2024. So right now we're working a little bit on trying to figure out how we're going to celebrate 125 years and when we're going to celebrate the 125.
So those plans are still in the works.
Those plans are they're in the works, and we'll figure out exactly what we're going to be doing and how we're going to do it. Will we do an open house? Will we do an event? When we rebranded to the Conkling Center, we did an open house here, and I want to say 100 and something people came through within the short period of time that we had the open house. So a lot more people know about us today, and we try to be active out in the community, and I sit on a number of boards and things like that, and I have a 15-member board of directors that oversees the Conkling Center. They're very active. We were recipient of the Walton Holiday Home Tour this past weekend, and my board took on that event and did any of the organization that the Conkling Center was asked to do.
Oh, that's great. I saw the ads for that. It did look good.
It was a really nice event. It was a really nice event. So, but that was all when we were notified that the individual that holds the event wanted the Conkling Center to receive the proceeds, my board took over all of the logistical stuff. Mm-hmm. But I have, as you saw, I have all the stuff in my office today.
Yeah, right. And so are there any other challenges or things that the community or businesses can help you with? Or
no, I think it's just a matter of if they're working with seniors or they're talking with seniors or something, that they can always refer them here. We're getting ready to partner with Mark Shaw and his Go Play With Your Food. Mm-hmm. So we're going to start doing programs over there in 2024.
Nice.
So to do something fun and get people to know about us and get people to know about an opportunity they have in the community to go and have some fun and have some food and things like that. But again, it's just a matter of we would love more sponsors. Not just for our events that we hold, but for our programming, for our transportation, things like that. That's really where funds would be very helpful because there are significant expenses for those programs.
Okay, that's great. Well, it looks like you're providing an excellent service here.
Yeah, we enjoy what we do.
Yeah, it's a beautiful space, so it must be very comfortable when people come here.
People enjoy coming.
Yeah, I imagine so. Yeah,
they find it bright and cheery and friendly and they enjoy being here. And,
yeah.
A number of organizations like come in can utilize our space. We have a fee schedule for people using if they want to use the back room. That's something if there are business or organizations that are looking for a meeting space, the space is always available. If it's not, if we don't have a program in here or the board is not using it.
That's a great location on Warren Street.
Right.
Fairly central.
Mm-hmm.
Parking, not too bad around here.
Parking's not too bad. We always, you know, you're always concerned about the parking because we have apartments, this building, the L shape. So
yeah.
The east-west is all residential, and so sometimes I feel bad for the people that are over there because there's a lot of hurting. But it's usually, we've not heard lots of concerns or challenges for parking. We have Social Security next door now, so it just depends on if it's a busy day or
how busy it is, yeah.